Well, first, the shock resignation this morning of National Party leader Todd Muller, effective immediately. Mr Muller has spent just 53 days as leader of the opposition. And this move comes just 67 days before the election on September 19th. In a statement this morning, Todd Muller said his leadership had become untenable from a health perspective. He says the role has taken a heavy toll on me personally and on my family, and this has become untenable from a health perspective. He says he took time out over the weekend to reflect and decided he wasn't the best person to lead the National Party. A National Party emergency teleconference, caucus teleconference, has been underway this morning and ended just before 9 o'clock. National MPs are now travelling to the capital from all over the country for a caucus meeting in person tonight. No one from the party will speak to us this morning. The invitations remain open. So who is in pole position to take National's top job, and what does it mean for the election and the National Party's prospects in it? Our guest first is RNZ's political editor, Jane Patterson. Jane, good morning.
Good morning, Catherine.
Reading between the lines in this statement, do we presume that Mr Muller, that the stress and pressures of the job have led him to conclude it's in the best interest of his health to not continue?
That's right. So all of the wording of that statement would certainly suggest that, and that's what we're hearing. It had become untenable for him to carry on in that position for those reasons. And while it leaves his caucus in an incredibly difficult position, I think you can understand that if you're having such personal difficulties, then choices have to be made in that way sometimes.
And so someone making choices in the best interest of their health and their family, no one's going to disagree with that. However, they're now in this situation where he has had such a short stint in the role, and they have to find a credible leader through to the election. This is unprecedented in my memory anyway of New Zealand politics.
Yes, this certainly is. And obviously we had a long drawn out controversy over Simon Bridges' leadership, then a quick change ahead of the election. Everyone had thought things had settled in, but now 9 weeks out, the National Party are now having to search for another leader. And look, in a way, this is a party without a leader. There is no obvious candidate, and we can discuss people who might be in the mix. But also, can I just update you some of the news that we're getting out of that caucus meeting that is finished? Nikki Kaye has been elected as acting leader in the interim. However, we have been told that MPs only found out about Mr Muller's resignation 5 minutes before the press release went out this morning, and senior MPs were basically blindsided by the news. So the caucus really, in as much as state of shock as anybody and surprise about how this all happened. Now, they also say that they want a leader chosen in the next 24 hours. So as you alluded to in your introduction, they're travelling down for a 7pm caucus meeting. This is going to happen quickly. There is not much time.
7:25 a.m. they learned. 7:30 the statement went out. 7:40 they were in an emergency meeting. Goodness. Let's look at their leadership options. And they've got, what, 12 hours to think about it? Less. Maybe 10. Nikki Kaye, the interim leader, that's obvious at the moment. She's deputy. That's an obvious thing to do while and how they sort out who should lead into the election. Is it going to require, in the first instance, somebody to put their hand up and then either choosing between the somebodies or possibly persuading somebody who doesn't necessarily want to do it to carry on?
I think there'll be a mix of that. There'll be people who had been keen in the and past races who are saying, absolutely no way, I'm not doing this this far out from the election and with the party in a state of disarray. There will be people that may be persuaded to do it, but really it's such a poisoned chalice to take into the election, this leadership. Normally leaderships are actively sought after, they're cherished, they're fought hard for. This one is going to be very, very different.
It is going to be a manager through to the election, but you still have to position yourself as credibly a party that can be elected, or you risk losing voters, right? So whoever takes it on is going to have to portray themselves as seriously ready to be Prime Minister.
whoever takes over has to instill that sense of confidence and stability, and that is a massive task. As I said, when you, if you look back at the leadership change from Simon Bridges to Todd Muller, it's not just the person, it's the whole team behind them, it's the whole structure. So the Chief Press Secretary, the Chief of Staff, the Campaign Manager, as we saw in that transition, all of those people are gone. So you had a new team here, so you don't even have that experience or the ability to bring those people back in. Now, of course, that brings us to Simon Bridges. His phone is off at the moment, but he has been the one person who really, really did want that National Party leadership and had to be dragged away from it in that vote. But that's part of the problem. We still have a caucus that is still divided. There will still be Simon Bridges supporters in that party, and maybe some of those MPs who supported Todd Muller might be looking now a little bit more favourably at Simon Bridges. Look, I don't know if he's an option. I don't know if he'll want to come back. I don't know if the public response to him initially is the reason not to bring him back. And then you have other people like Judith Collins. Would she make a move and take the chance? She certainly didn't want to take the role on in this past leadership. And then, of course, there's Nikki Kay. Does she stay on as leader, as an experienced MP, as someone who's been elected deputy, and it would be appropriate for her to step into the leadership? But again, it's a very different position, deputy and the person that they're going to lead into the party. And these MPs have just been struck with an incredibly difficult and time-sensitive decision that they're now going to have to grapple with in what was going to be a parliamentary recess week.
I don't think they can talk about caretakers, because if they talk about caretakers or pick someone who's obviously a caretaker, they risk hollowing out their vote. And I've heard some talk of the likes of Gerry Brownlee, who's had leadership aspirations and who is obviously a senior and very experienced MP. But again, if you're going into an election, you have to be campaigning saying, I want to be Prime Minister, we're ready to be the government. Which means, do they have to look somewhere bolder than just, you know, say, leaving Kay in the role? Do they need to, does Judith Collins need to seize the moment and present herself as a saviour?
I don't have the answers to that, to be quite frank, Catherine. I think all of those questions what MPs will be. Once again, we only went through this a month ago, but then you do come down to that question, is it actually realistic for National to present itself as a party fit to govern, or do they just cobble enough vote, enough support, enough tradition and just get through and not have their caucus eviscerated at this election? Is that the best hope for them? I know that doesn't sound very aspirational, but realistically, in this kind of position, there is no one else really in the caucus, because I think they would have come forward in this last leadership round that is to, you know, their Jacinda Ardern, because we saw the impact that she had last time. There is no one else apparent, and look, someone may pop up this afternoon, but I think we're looking at those three people.
Well, this
potentially
is where Collins could say, I've been ready for a long time, I'm ready now, in this situation I am the person to not only take over the role but present as someone with ambitions to be Prime Minister. If you look at a couple of the most recent examples of late changes, someone mentioned this morning when Geoffrey Palmer stood aside and Mike Moore came through and actually got a Labour Party that had been in the doldrums pretty darn close to an upset election win by having the chutzpah, really, and by going for broke. If you look at Ardern, again, it's sort of appears to be foisted on him with a few weeks to go and a party again in the doldrums, and came through again as a breath of fresh air and someone that people could identify with. Is there any way you can pluck that out of this current situation from National and by sheer force of circumstance have someone that the electorate attaches to and says, yes, this person's got it?
And as we've seen in politics, it's about timing, and it might be the timing for Judith Collins. The problem in the past had been that when the party was polling well in the mid to high 40s, the MPs didn't see the opportunity for her to go to the centre to go and get voters from Labour. However, now they're in a different position. Actually, National would be happy to get their base back. They'd be happy to get that sort of 35-40% of very strong and stable, consistent polling that they've had. And Judith Collins, she is very popular with the National Party base. That might be what they need to actually just get some of that soft vote back from other parties. But again, it's the caucus who elects these people. Now, as we've seen in the past, another barrier to Judith Collins having become leader was she didn't have the support. But as I said, in each different time, circumstances change and MPs are now faced with a very different set of circumstances.
Bringing Bridges back, would he be hamstrung by your party didn't want you 2 months ago and now you're back, you know? It's extraordinary. They've got a matter of hours to sort this out. They're going to be travelling, so they're going to be texting and calling each other, Jane. It's just extraordinary.
Yes, it is, Catherine.
I'll let you get to it. On the other point of them not fronting so far, I know you'll have colleagues at the moment and you need to get out and do it yourself, trying to doorstop, but is it tenable for them to go through the day saying nothing?
I think there will have to be some statements during the day, just at the least, about what's happening. Nikki Kaye is acting leader, so there will have to be an opportunity, I would say, today. Otherwise, it just adds to the sense of disarray, confusion surrounding the party. So I do think they're going to have to come out. They've just come out of that caucus meeting, probably will come away from that video caucus meeting about 20 minutes ago. So I think they'll just be making those sorts of arrangements now. I'd be very surprised if we didn't hear from somebody through the course of the afternoon or morning.
We're told it's a no, but again, in the circumstances, it would be appreciated for someone to come through and talk through what's about to happen with the public, and they're most welcome to be in touch with us. Our requests are in. Jane, I'll let you get back to it. Stay in touch throughout the morning. Thank you. Jane Patterson is RNZ's political editor. Well, listening into that is 9 to Noon's political commentator, Bridget Morton. Bridget, of course, is a former National Party advisor to the previous national government. She is now...
I have a lawyer with Franks Ogilvie, which is a public and commercial law firm, and during this election I am volunteering for the Wellington Central candidate.
Bridget, we were speaking just yesterday. There was no hint of this anywhere. Did anyone have any suspicion that Mr. Muller may say, this is not for me?
No, absolutely not. I mean, obviously he was sick yesterday, so didn't do some of his normal media. But, you know, that's turnabout. We, of course, you know, expect people to be unwell and to stay home when they're unwell. So, the complete and utter shock this morning.
He didn't appear over the weekend media, and we were talking about that yesterday in our political commentary. Part of me was wondering whether there was a big regrouping going on, saying, OK, this political management over the week has not worked, we're going to regroup, we're going to reset. Something else was happening. He was talking to his family and he was making this decision. Not anticipated, not foreseen then by anyone we've spoken to as even a possibility. What state are people in, having been told this morning at 7:25 that this had happened?
Oh, I think there's extreme shock. There's a lot of, a bit of anger because it's come out of the blue and, you know, everyone's sort of grouped behind and, you know, got the campaign moving. There's a lot of sadness because obviously if you read that statement, this is not an easy choice that he's made. This is someone that has always wanted this job. This is someone that was really passionate as an electorate MP. You know, my interactions with him was in the Minister of Education's office, so a lot of frontline. He knew his schools inside out. He really advocated on behalf of his constituents. He really wanted this. He really enjoyed that sort of part of the role. So I can't imagine that it's been an easy decision for him.
So now, though, what state are people in terms of determining what to do from here? Is it panic?
Well, I mean, obviously there's a lot of people running in different directions, as you would. Nobody had planned for this. Nobody had thought through what is the next best step. And as, you know, Jane mentioned, you can go with someone that's really experienced in terms of a sort of Jerry Brownlee. You know, there's the Judith Collins pathway, which is, you know, really, she's really popular with the base. Or you go with Nikki Kaye, who is, you know, the fresh, you know, the face of the sort of new leadership, but also brings that experience. So there's going to be a lot of discussions and a lot of people unsure about what the next steps are.
How do you think they will strategically approach each of those potential candidates? Is it viable to go to Bridges and say, you had the team in place, you've been doing the job, we bring you back? Is it viable?
Well, I think one of the issues is going to be is that obviously he didn't give up the leadership. He didn't resign. It wasn't the same as when Little handed over to Jacinda. So if he comes back, it's going to be difficult to unite the caucus. And saying that he obviously has the experience and they've got the ability to sort of hit the ground running with him, But from his point of view, it's probably a question of, you know, why would he at this stage? It is a bit of a poison chalice. You know, if he wants to come back, do a bit of a Bill English, he probably, this is not the right time for him.
On the question of Collins, it's always been interesting to me her various leadership kind of the talk around her, because certainly back in the day, and that goes to show how far back it goes, you could never see the numbers matching the amount of talk around her. I'm not sure how much that may have changed in more recent times. Does she have anything like a sufficient core base to convince others?
I think if you look at the lay part of the party, there's definitely a core support for her. She's always been really popular with the members. Within caucus, yeah, she's obviously never had the numbers before, but this is an extraordinary time. And I think if, you know, you go back to when the sort of Rudd-Gillard was happening in Australia, and extraordinarily, I think it was 5 weeks out from the election in 2013, suddenly Rudd took over. He was the prime minister that was thrown out by Gillard. He was so unpopular, but they still brought him back. So I think you can't rule out sort of anyone at this time.
The idea of Nikki Kaye continuing on herself, is she too closely associated now with what's just happened? She came in as part of this leadership team. This has happened. Is it tenable for her to stay on?
I think it is tenable for her to stay on, and I will say I did work for her in the last government for 6 months, so working alongside her. She does have broad support across the party because she has broad support across the electorate. I don't think she has, you know, written her ticket by being associated with Todd, and I think she's probably a viable contender.
Does she want it?
I don't know, but she's always been ambitious and hardworking, so I wouldn't rule it out.
Okay. How did they approach their election strategy here? As we said, we might talk as commentators about caretaker leaders. They can't afford to. And they can't afford to portray one.
No. You mean the whole point of being opposition is you are the alternative government. You are the person, you know, standing up on the 20th of September and saying, I'm a viable prime minister and I've got the team behind me to run the country. So I think they've absolutely got to fully back whoever they elect tonight as their future prime minister candidate. But, I mean, just think about the campaigns, the pure logistics behind this last-minute change. There's huge amounts of work to happen, all of that social media, hoardings, collateral, you know, videos, advertisements, all of that stuff has suddenly got to be flipped on its head within the next probably 36 hours.
Some of it has been done. The billboards are up in some places.
Yes, the billboards are up.
With Nikki Kaye and Todd Muller on them.
Yes, they're up in some places. They'll obviously have to
so
come down.
So is a lot of that campaign infrastructure already done with him as leader?
Yes, absolutely. And that's what you'd absolutely expect to happen. So that's going to have to be, it's going to be expense for the party. It's going to be, you know, have to turn around really fast in terms of printing and making sure that, you know, everything is cleaned off of the previous leader and you've got one coherent message. And that's difficult and shouldn't be underestimated.
And we were talking yesterday about policy development. Presumably it can't be entirely reinvented now, but someone else is going to have to get up to, someone else is going to have to, or perhaps not, deliver a 5-point economic plan this week.
Yeah, I think in terms of something like the economic plan and the roading announcements, there's pretty big support for those within the caucus. I can't imagine that sort of changing radically. There's probably a discussion to be had around, depending who the leader is, about what the approach is to New Zealand First going forward, because obviously that's something that changed a little bit with Simon. So the change from Simon to Todd, so that's probably something that will be up for discussion.
I do wonder also whether, in retrospect, there are going to be people saying, should we have got here in the first place? You know, should... Was this something that in any way could have been foreseen? Because a lot of people have ambitions for these jobs. The pressures are absolutely enormous and only build the more senior you get and only build the more when you get into government. Could anyone have foreseen and said, this isn't the right role for you, or is this just completely out of the blue?
To me, this feels completely out of the blue, and I don't have any further understanding on what Todd's decision-making process was. But I think everyone saw him as someone that could handle the job. He was previously an advisor in Bulger's government. He knew what that day-to-day machinations of politics and how you can't always control the narrative. That's not new to him. You know, it's not new to him to have to deal with MPs that have gone rogue. So I think for those people speculating that he had no idea what the job was like, have completely just forgotten to do any simple Wikipedia search on what his background is.
And again, those who obviously then supported him in the run, again, you were saying that was done with sound judgment based on the evidence for many years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. In that case, we say again, if you've got to make a decision in the best interest of your own health and your family, you make it.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Bridget Morton, a political commentator.